Right, so that's 10 o'clock. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this ordinary meeting of the Douglas Shire Council being held on Tuesday the 25th of August 2020 at the Mossman Council Chambers. I hereby give notice that in accordance with section 277E of the Local Government Regulations 2012, that the special meeting, this ordinary meeting of Council, will be closed to the public because of health and safety reasons associated with the public health emergency involving COVID-19. The ordinary meeting of Council will be available to view via live stream on Council's website and will be available for others to watch at a later time. I'd like to acknowledge the Kukurjalanji people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today, and I'd like to pay respect to their elders, both past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who may be listening or watching our meeting this morning. Attendance, I note that all councillors are present. Thank you very much. We've got our CEO here, our governance officer, and the max amount of staff that we can have in here under the COVID restrictions. Any conflicts of interest that need to be noted? No? Okay, I'm just going to move on to a mayoral minute that councillors have received prior. The mayoral minute is that council resolves to install CCTV cameras at the Fort Douglas Sporting Complex and notes that this will cost $10,000, and this request is not with the existing capital works budget 2021, but will be included in the budget review in November 2020, and also delegates authority to the Chief Executive Officer in accordance with section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to determine and finalise any and all matters associated with this matter. Just for the benefit of those watching, the background of this is the Port Douglas Sporting Complex is the main sporting complex in Port Douglas that comprises of multiple users utilising this facility. The adjoining public amenities include walking areas and a skate park, which is often used by the public. The main playing field is used by AFL and cricket, rugby union, netball, soccer, also playing with the facility's courts and their fields and the surrounding main playing field. Douglas Shire Council has received complaints recently of the condition of the ground, including rocks that have been placed on the playing field. To protect the playing surface and facilities, Council proposes to install CCTV cameras in and around the facility to help deter antisocial behaviour. Building facilities will coordinate the installation of the cameras and will be a critical asset to protect the grounds and facilities of the Port Douglas Sporting Complex. As it's a mayoral minute, I don't need a seconder, but I will put it to anyone wishes to object to the motion. Any comments from any councillors regarding this? Councillors,
through you, Mayor. I'd like to say, look, it's a shame council have to go down this road to install these cameras, but they're needed for the actions of some individuals that are making it difficult for everyone else. I think it's a must. We have to do it. Council have to spend the money then. It's a deterrent, at least. Will be act as a deterrent, at least.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. So with that, then I shall put it to the vote. All those in favour of the motion, and that's carried unanimously. Okay, so we'll go on to the confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 28th of July. If I can have a mover, please, Councillor Scommerson, and a seconder. Councillor Zamataro, anyone against? No? Any comments from any other councillors? We'll put that to the vote then. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. We then have the minutes from the special meeting on the 10th of August. I'm happy to move that one. And a seconder, please. Councillor Scommerson, anyone against the motion? Any comments regarding it? All those in favour of the motion? And that's carried unanimously. Okay, so we should then go on to the agenda items as listed. 5.1, the permanent road closure, 65 Carnac Road, Warrnambool. The council advised the applicant that the council supports the execution of the form part C for permanent road closure of lot 2 SP190474 being 65 Carnac Road, Warrnambool, on the condition that the agreement is provided to convert the existing easement A and B into a formal road reserve at nil cost for council, and also delegates authority under section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to the Chief Executive Officer to finalise any and all matters associated with this application. I can have a mover for that, please. Councillor Nolley, seconded. Councillor McEwen. Councillor Nolley, would you like to speak to that at all?
Only just to say that I've read it, obviously, and I think that I see no reason why not to go ahead with a recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Nolley. Anyone like to speak against the motion? Any other comments from councillors? Okay, with that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. 5.2, Mossman Sewage Treatment Plant Tenure. The recommendation is the council proceeds with the previously lodged application for a permanent road closure of road reserve on part of Junction Road, Mossman. Applies to DNRME for a term lease over the road reserve on part of Junction Road, Mossman, to formalise tenure of the land. A, the lease rental to be calculated by DNRME as 6% of the land value. B, council being responsible for all costs associated with the matter, including but not limited to survey plans and legal fees. Approves the capital works required to provide access to lots 165, 167, on N157, 119 for the traditional owners to access their land that they own, and delegates authority under section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to the Chief Executive Officer to determine and finalise at council's cost any and all matters associated with the permanent road closure and term lease, and to execute any agreements, deeds and survey plans. If I could have a mover, please. Councillor Skolson, seconded by Councillor Zamataro. Councillor Skolson, would you like to speak to that at all?
One question I've got with this is, Jabbabina, have they been, we've been working with them on this? Yeah.
So through the mayor, so there's been, this has been going on for some time, and Jabbabina have been consulted extensively. What will happen now is we'll proceed and they'll, DNRME will ask for comments and feedback, so they'll again be consulted.
Okay.
Anyone like to speak against the motion? Any other comments from councillors regarding this? We'll put that to the vote though. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. 5.3, 40 days in 40 days. I'm happy to move this. If I could have a seconder, please. Councillor Scommerson. I'm very pleased to move this motion. Of course, whilst council was in caretaker mode over the election period, as we all know, COVID-19 struck, throwing this region as well as this country into turmoil. Our local disaster management group took the lead and within 2 days managed to have the Do It and Douglas campaign mobile, starting off with the 40 days and 40 ways promotion, and since then the Buy Douglas, Build Douglas has continued to encourage residents to keep it local with local shopping, local dining, local touring, and of course local health. The staff who initiated this program need to be commended for their work, and I believe that all that have participated in this program sincerely thank you. Would anyone like to speak against the motion? Any comments from councillors? I was hoping that wouldn't happen. Any comments from councillors?
I'd just like to say it was a great campaign and look forward to more. And I hope there's a couple more in the pipeline that's good for the community.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. And I do recommend that people have a look at that online and check out everything that was done over the 4 days. It was just absolutely brilliant. With that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. 5.4, call for running tide resource and performance agreement. Of course, that is the council enters into a 3-year resource and performance agreement with Port Douglas Artistic Inc. for the call of the running tide with $15,000 GC exclusive cash in years 1 and 3, and 10,000 GST exclusive in year 2, with in-kind support, including use of Port Douglas Community Hall, Mossman Shire Hall, and parks during the event for the pre-event workshops, and also delegates authority to the Chief Executive Officer under Section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to administer matters associated with the above. If I could have a mover for that, please. Councillor Scommerson. Seconder. Councillor McEwen. Councillor Scommerson, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, I think this is a great event for the community. I've just got one question as well with it, is that I agree with the, I support the funding that they're asking for. The only thing is with COVID-19, if we're in the same situation next year when they want to hold the event, is it possible that we can defer the funding until they can actually be able to show their, or they can do their event?
Should we look to advice on the staff for that one?
Through the chair, I think we can look at a triennial agreement over 3 years, so if we can defer a payment for 1 year, we could put it on the end of the resource agreement.
Yeah.
Anyone like to speak against the motion?
Not against, but I'd like to bring some discussion, please.
Okay, then any other comments from councillors?
Okay. I absolutely do support the resource agreement for Call of the Running Tide. Fantastic event last year. The organisers themselves are very, very capable. I'd just like to bring up a discussion point about the quantity of money provided. Historically, council has had kind of capped our agreements at about $10,000. And I just wanted to talk about whether that should be also thought about for this event as well. They have received quite a lot of money throughout. And if it still will support a lot for in-kind, through money as well. I'm just wondering if perhaps we should really think about our budget very wisely in these difficult times, whereas if we save $10,000 on this event over 3 years, it would actually possibly go to another event, and resource another event. I'd just like to bring up that as a consideration for councillors. Please understand our absolute support this event. Just wondering if that is the correct amount
that
we should be looking at.
So, are you looking at putting a motion forward to change that?
Well, I would put the motion forward to change it if it's the only way to continue the discussion. Otherwise, can we just discuss this amongst ourselves and see what the feeling is for the other councillors? I mean, if there's absolutely no support or no discussion, then I won't put the motion forward. But I'd just like to discuss it. So it's up to you how you put it, Mayor.
We're sticking to the standing orders. Would any other councillor like to speak to that?
I'm just wondering, are we aware of what the rate of funding has been that they've received?
Through the chair, I'll take that question on notice.
I know we had some of the rate of funding, so I'd like to have some more clarification on how much they've actually received from the rate of funding. That could determine. Now, if we can save 5,000 and go towards another something else.
Councillor McHugh, have you any comment to this?
Oh, well, only that, you know, we brought it up in the workshop and I thought we discussed it pretty thoroughly at the time. And they're up to 15 each and we reduced one back to 5. I just sort of came to a consensus in that. I know we've got to watch our dollars, but I thought we'd be through this.
Okay, so Councillor Noel, unless you're prepared to put a motion up for it, I think we can take it to a vote from what I'm hearing for the other councillors.
No, not particularly. I'd like to discuss it. It obviously doesn't sound like it's...
We discussed it at the workshop.
Yeah,
okay. That might be money moving.
Okay, if we can just keep to the standing orders, please. So with that, we'll click...
May I just respond, please, Mayor? Remember, workshop for discussion.
Of course, it's a discussion. With that, we'll take it to the vote then. All those in favour of the motion? That's carried unanimously. Okay, 5.5, in-kind assistance post-COVID-19 event strategy. The recommendation is that council provide in-kind support for use of venues and waive application fees for events as part of a post-COVID-19 economic and event recovery strategy to the amount of $8,216 for knockout events for the Wonderland Under the Stars and $2,508 plus $1,500 security bond for festival amusements mini fund fair. to delegate authority under section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 for the Chief Executive Officer to finalise any minor amendments in relation to these applications. If I could have a mover, please, for that one. Councillor Knowling, just got in quickly then, and seconded by Councillor Scommerson. Councillor Knowling, would you like to speak to it?
No, thank you, that's fine.
Anyone wish to speak against the motion? Any other comments?
I think it's a great idea. You know, we didn't get a Mossman show this year because of COVID, and I think this is a little bit of a bonus for the community, for a bit of fun.
So with that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Now 5.6, funding support for the Better Together Conference 2022. The recommendations council to resolve to provide one-off funding of $10,000 cash and in-kind assistance of waiving of VAT fees for Sugar Wharf for the Better Together Conference to be held in February 2022. And delegates authority under section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 for the Chief Executive Officer to finalise any minor amendments in relation to the funding and in-kind support for the Better Together Conference. I'm happy to move this one. If I could have a seconder, please. Councillor Scommerson. As I said, I'm very happy to move this motion. One thing the report doesn't mention is that it will also be a joint venture with Cairns Regional Council, who are also contributing to this. So it'll be good to see us working together for an event which will have more than 400 people utilising accommodation and businesses in both areas over a 2-week period. This conference will also coincide with the Hot and Steamy Festival, giving further options for businesses to garner from this conference. As the report says, it states by encouraging and attracting these types of events to Dover-Shire, the region can enhance its appeal as a conference destination, as well as providing positive outcomes for the broader LGBTIQ community. The conference will be held also during traditionally slow times of the year, and given the event will be held during the traditional wet season, I think it's certainly a bonus to the area. Anyone like to speak against the motion? Any comments from councillors, please?
I think it's a great event for this community. And I think with the funding of $10,000 to promote our region is one of those things.
With that, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Okay, 5.7, naming of an unnamed road off Captain Cook Highway. Now the recommendation is that council resolves to name the road of Captain Cook Highway leading to Gold Coast Marine Agriculture, the Noel Herbs Road. If I could have a mover, please. Councillor McEwen. And a seconder. Councillor Scommerson. Councillor McEwen, would you like to speak to it at all?
Oh, listen, I just think I've seen the other proposal that put forward, and I just think this role has done a great development in the Dover-Shire. And I can't see any real issue with naming it as requested.
Anyone wish to speak against the motion? Councillor Knowling?
Yeah. So, for the interest of the public, which is not obviously in this agenda report, we have, councils have received information from the Dover-Shire Historical Society that apparently that was a track, a historical road, and there were suggestions on other names. One was, and whether we have to take this, Old Ferry Road. I feel that from this information that we've received just over the weekend, perhaps we could discuss this further. Because I think nothing against this guy, nothing against what he's done. I think it's fantastic that prawn development out there, wonderful. But I do believe, in light of information that we didn't have when we first got this report, that we could perhaps discuss this further. Because with that information, I would actually consider possibly a historical name being more appropriate as opposed to a guy who's done some great work. More than you come up to contribute into the Shire. So I would either like to defer this, or we can just speak about it here in the meeting debate situation. But I would probably vote against this because I think that a different name could be more appropriate.
Okay, so are you moving a motion to change or a motion to defer, or would you like to hear from the councillors?
I'm just starting a debate and I would like to continue the discussion open meeting.
I'm not moving anything. Any other councillor wish to speak towards the motion? Well, I will.
All I was going to say is that after that further information we receive, the road does have some historic meaning to it. But I think we also got to look at the contribution that this person has made into the community as well, with employment and the industry as well. So, historical society has given us that information. Maybe they should have acted on it a little bit sooner, but made a proposal towards council on naming that road in the past. So I'll be the way with this, it's a road.
May I respond? Councillor.
If I go to Councillor Zamataro, did you wish to speak first?
Through you, Mayor. Look, I'm not doubting any of that Mr. Herbs is a contribution he's made to the Shire, but in light of the information received, I think this requires further. I would like to see a deferral. I'd even move for a deferral so we can actually discuss this, maybe at a workshop setting too. I don't think we can make a decision on this without discussing it further, without listening to both parties further.
So you'd like to move that we defer it?
I would like to, yes.
I'm opposed to actually second that one, that we defer it. If I just add a comment to that, I agree that, it is a historical road, but it's also been something that's now modern that it isn't a complete road. The road actually cuts off. So I think there's lots of arguments to it, and I think it'd be better if we actually get further information from both the Historical Society and this company as well. So with that, we'll put a motion forward to defer this matter. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. All right, 5.8, the Daintree River Crossing Round 2 Public Consultation Plan. The recommendation is that Council endorses the Community Public Consultation Plan for the Daintree River Ferry Crossing and delegates authority under Section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to the Chief Executive Officer to finalise all matters associated with this. I'm happy to move this one. If I can have a seconder, please. Councillor Scommerson. I wish to move this motion as I believe this would be a true step in a forward history for the Douglas Shire Council. It is called Round 2 of Public Consultation, but for many in our community, I believe that it will be Round 1. The initial round of consultation was focused on what was wanted by way of an enhanced ferry service, and the feedback received was used to prepare tender specifications for the ferry service. It did not include information about any of the costs involved to our ratepayers, or for that matter, future tourists to the region. The results were delivered were only brought to the community in a closed session of council, which with only a feel-good press release, I believe, about the proposed solar power ferry. No mention of a bridge was allowed as it was not on the table. This public consultation will allow everyone in our community and everyone who will be paying for the result to have a reasonable say on what choice they want. This consultation will bring to a conclusion the debate once and for all with an opinion of the majority leading a decision. This will allow council to move forward knowing that they are entering the proposition that is wanted by a majority. The options report, which currently sits in today's closed session under the Act of 275H, will be made public once the majority of councils agree to the data that it contains. It is paramount that this document is not a political tool and it needs to be a factual document that the community must have confidence in. With this process, councils will be able to have a full consideration, discuss the information fully without restraints of standing orders, and will not accidentally add any false or prejudicial statements to the debate in this meeting that not only could very well affect the outcome, but jeopardise the legal arrangements that are in place to protect the successful ferry contractors' intellectual data, a position which all councillors are very much aware of. Once a majority of councillors have approved the report, it will be made available to the community to read and consider the options. Councillors will have plenty of time during the consultation period to convey their personal opinions regarding other matters within the consultation, but this document must be facts only. So, anyone like to speak against the motion? Councillor Nolan.
Thank you. I actually move to defer this consultation, please.
I'll second that motion. Very good.
Okay, so all those in favour of deferring the consultation?
I'd like to speak to it, please.
Okay, would you like to speak to it then?
Thank you. Concern here is I'll start off by saying, just being pardon. I move to defer because we really need one document that contains the consultation and the options report together. In theory, we can go into the closed session and not vote for it. So then how can we go to a public consultation without any information? We can't do it. It's impossible. We have to defer this until it comes to council as one document with the options all together. And that is the reason I'm moving to defer.
Anyone wish to speak against that motion to defer? Well, I shall make a comment. I mean, this document that we've got at the moment is the process of a public consultation. That's what we're arguing on this document. It's purely what the process will be.
I repeat, Mayor, we cannot have one without the other.
So we'll put it to the vote then, for councillors who wish to defer the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Noley, Councillor Zamataro. All those against? Councillor McEwen, Councillor Collins-Scomerson, Councillor Kirk. So we're not deferring the matter. So anyone wishes to speak for the motion?
Through you, Mayor Kerr. Look, I have some issues with the actual report itself. On page 165 states that council will make the final decision. People are reading this and saying to me, why are we bothering to go to consultation? Council have already made up their mind, so why are they going to bother to participate? That's their attitude out there. Page 166 then states consultation period will be for 3 weeks. Look, with the demise of the Gazette, there's not a printed media at the Shire anymore. So not everyone is on social media, not everyone, you know, has access to computers. So word of mouth is important to get the message out to everyone. 3 weeks is not enough for this consultation period. For instance, people north of the river, some only come over every couple of weeks. And, you know, the residents could be away for 3 weeks. I think we need a lot more time than 3 weeks on this. I don't think that's enough time. There's another point on page 169, the danger is of interest to many of outside of the Shire. Now, obviously that means we're going to take comment from people outside the Shire. I wonder what weight's going to be given from feedback received from these people outside the Shire. That's another question I have. And page 70 talks of discussing with traditional owners. I'd like to know who's going to be involved in the discussions and what weight that also will be given, you know, with the outcome. Well, this issue's been, you know, debated many, many times, and even though I'm still wondering why it wasn't enacted on in December, but the council resolution wasn't enacted on in December, but the reasons I've been given are numerous times, and I think you've just said it again, Mayor Cursory, or talk at the start, is the reason we're going back to public consultation is that the public was not given the options. But here we're sitting being asked to go back to public consultation without the options report being displayed. I think that needs to be one document with the options report being displayed. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor McKeown, would you like to speak to?
I probably agree with Roy with the time of 3 weeks. That probably is not enough time. It's a pretty important decision that the people are going to make. So I think we probably have to give them a little bit more time. I'm happy with that. And in relation to the issues of close count, I would understand that it all will come out as one document complete when we've all agreed with the contents of the second part. And it's the information will come out, it's just not quite ready yet. But I do agree with allowing a little bit more time. Yeah.
Can I just see clarification? We'd be happy to provide more time. What amount of time? 5 weeks? Would that be better?
I had said, well, in my discussion that I would bring up soon, I was going to suggest 6 weeks.
Well, if I can just state for the moment, we'll just drop from standing orders for a minute so that we can discuss this part for the time. I'm happy with 5 or 6 weeks, so it's up to a majority of councillors, whichever they prefer. If you can, six. Councillor Zamatara, 6 as well. So we're happy with 6 weeks, so that can be changed to 6 weeks.
There is 2 weeks for the report to be released before the consultation appointment. So once the Danger River Ferry Crossing Options report is published, once it's published, there is 2 weeks to allow people to read it, digest it, ask questions in the community. And then we start 6 weeks of consultation.
If everyone's happy with that.
So the whole period is 8, but we don't make comments until people have actually had time to talk themselves.
There will always be comments, I didn't know, I wasn't given enough time, so 6 weeks will cover.
Okay, if everyone's happy with that, we'll go back into standing orders. Councillor Nolly, did you wish to speak against the motion? You did speak before regarding the deferment.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I actually have a few concerns about the public consultation as written there, and they're quite similar to Councillor Zamatara's. First of all, it clearly states in the first page that basically we don't have to public consultation. But when it comes back to council, that information can be disregarded by councillors. So we can then vote whatever the hell we want. Sorry about the hell. Yes, big pardon, I apologise. Whatever we want. So this is a concern. It begs the question, why go to consultation if it comes back under councillors' discretion? So that's my first concern. Then I have a concern also about the community meetings, that they are there's a restriction on RSVP. That it means that the well-organised public will probably RSVP and attend, but as we know, most of the public aren't like that. And also in the public meetings, the point is that there's only 5 speakers may be allowed, and they are decided by the discretion of council. So is that really full and transparent democratic process happening? We spoke about the consultation time. I was unhappy with that. With the Gazette no longer being around, I think there's the ability of many residents to not be informed in time and then provide their feedback, but we've already spoken about that. So for these reasons, I have a little concern about the consultation process as it is. I understand we're going to go back out to consultation, and that is fine. I accept that. I'm just wondering if we have to, as Councillor McKeown said, get this right. Why don't we just calm it down? Take out one document, get this consultation process right, get the options report right, and bring it out as one document. Councillor McKeown just said it himself. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Nolan. Just a response to that. As you said, Councillor Zamatara, whole purpose of having councillors find a decision, as it states in there, is because there are lots and lots of different stakeholders. And that will give us the choice of saying, you live here, you get your percentage. You don't live here, you know, we can weight it ourselves. We are the councillors that make the decision based on the information that comes back to us. And how we vote in this room is how it ends up going through the weighting process, which I think is extremely important in this whole thing. The RSVP, you know, I myself is disappointed because of the small amount of people who go to the meetings, but we're in COVID. We can't do anything about that. So we've changed it to have as many meetings as necessary. So if someone's that desperate to speak, they can certainly make an appointment, go to another meeting, and they can speak. They will also have the opportunity of other feedbacks as well. So I'm more than happy with the consultation and the form that it is, with the amendment that we're making to have a 6-week period after the 2-week period. So with that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor McEwen, Councillor Sconson, Councillor Kerr. All those against? Councillor Nolly, Councillor Zanattaro, the motion is passed. So then go on to 5.9, we'll just have a typist catch up. Okay, 5.9, proposed amended schedule of fees and charges 2020-21. Recommendation is that Council 1 adopts the amended section of the schedule for fees and charges for 2021 financial year for the cemetery services, caravan parks, campgrounds and Blakestar Hill, and 2 delegates authority under section 257 of the Local Government Act 2009 to the Chief Executive Officer to negotiate fees and charges where circumstances warrant it and to make minor administrative amendments to the schedule. If I could have a move, please, for this. Councillor Sconson, seconded by Councillor McEwen. Councillor Sconson, do you wish to speak to it?
No, it's all good. It's fine to stop.
Thank you. Anyone against the motion? Any other councillors wish to speak towards the motion?
I just have a question.
Councillor Nolan.
Thank you. I was just wondering, do you have on you, Ms. Killeen, the loss of the revenue because of not increasing the fees and for the Flagstaff Hill? So that's my question. Or have I missed something somewhere in the report?
Through the chair, we originally had a dollar figure on the kilowatts per kilowatt.
Yeah.
But we're only charging 45 cents per kilowatt, so there's no real sort of gain that we're gaining from this financial year. We're only increasing 45 cents.
So it's not
a lot of, financial gain for the council to increase it.
Okay, thanks.
Any other councillors? With that, we'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Mm-hmm. 5.10, the financial report, July 2020. The council notes the financial report for the period ending 31st of July 2020. If I could have a mover, please. I'm happy to move that. And seconded by Councillor Sponson. Well, we've got the attached reports. Thank you very much for explaining your opinion for the information. It's all very self-explanatory. We're getting used to these very detailed reports now that cover up a lot of the areas, and it's very easy to read, which is fantastic. Anyone should speak against the motion? Any other questions from councillors regarding Councillor Nolan?
Thank you. I'll read out what's in the report. It says the Daintree Ferry revenue currently 31,100 ahead of budget. It is important to note that the budget had been reduced for July by 50% for the COVID impact. Ms. Kalisa, was that? Sorry, try to talk me through this. Was that reduction in the original budget that we voted on back in June? Is that where the reduction was made then, was it?
Yes.
Because we already knew about the COVID, yeah, okay.
Through the mayor, yes, you know, we had to make assumptions, and it's quite early in the piece, obviously, when we were doing the budget, and we budgeted monthly. And at this stage, we had estimated in that the budget that was approved that the Daintree ferry revenue would drop by 50% for July, 50% for August, and I think 25% for September.
Yeah.
So we are slightly ahead based on our 50%, but September may not be as we thought it would be, and all open and everything fine. So it'll be interesting to see.
Thank you. I thought it was during the budget adoption. I was 100% sure. Thank you. That was my question. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from councillors? With that, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. 5.11, 2021 internal audit plan. The recommendation is that council endorse the strategic internal audit plan for financial year 2020-2022. Just double check to make sure that's correct. Is it 2020-2022? 3 years back, and the annual internal audit plan for the financial year 2021 is presented. Okay, we move it, please. Councillor Nolley, seconded by Councillor Zanataro. Councillor Nolley, would you move to try to speak towards it?
No, that's okay, thank you.
Anyone wish to speak against it? No. Okay. Any other comments from councillors? Fantastic. If that will put it to the vote, all those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Okay, 5.12, operational plan progress report for period April to June 2020. The recommendation is the council notes the progress of the implementation of the operational plan 2019 to 2020. If I can have a mover for that one, please. Councillor Sconson, and seconded by Councillor Kewen. Councillor Sconson, would you like to speak to that?
All I'd like to say on it is, again, well done to our CEO. I get good feedback from these reports because they're, you know, very readable for the people, and well done again.
Thank you. Anyone wish to speak against the motion? Any comments from councillors? Councillor Moore?
Thank you. I'd probably just like to bring up one major thing. That, it's about theme 4. Which talks about inclusive engagement, planning, and partnerships, and in particular, goal 2, which talk about we will develop forward-looking strategies for the future of our communities, and we will ensure balanced and appropriate planning decisions. Points 2 and 3, so they talk about developing a MOSPAN 2025 master plan and strategy, and point 3, develop a 30-year danger community plan. I'd just like to talk about, I think, the importance of those. So, I'm going to kind of speak about these plans. They haven't happened or haven't really started, and why I believe that these plans are really important to occur before the ferry bridge debate. And we continue with one of the options of crossing the danger ferry without first finishing these plans, the dangers that council and Douglas will face because of lack of planning strategies and due diligence could face, I should say. I'm not going to spend a huge amount of time on the debate this morning, but I'd just like to start the discussion and ponder upon questions that perhaps haven't been asked up until now. So one strategy that we will be looking at in Douglas, but specifically in Mosman and Daintree in these strategy plans, would be increasing the tourist dollar, because Mosman in particular really misses out on the tourist dollar. Increased tourist dollars come through tourism on their multi-day stays. And these people who spend money on accommodation, food, experiences. This generates employment in the Shire, which is a multiplier effect out throughout the supply chain. The least valuable tourist is a day tripper, or worse still, one that just passes through and looks out the vehicle window as they drive by. So these strategies, I suppose, one of their ideas would be to decrease the day tripper and get them multi-day stayers. Now, what we don't want is the type of situation that happens up and down the highway from Brisbane to Cairns, is that you have the highway and then people drive past the towns and cities that are, you know, used to stop in. Now we don't stop anymore. So we need to look at visitation as an important distinction from traffic. So increasing traffic in Mosman and Daintree, if we leave Paul out of this discussion at the moment, just for the moment, is not increasing visitation. Two separate things, okay? And I think we really, really need to look at these strategies to put in, to be put into effect, because I am concerned that a bridge will just increase through traffic, because what we're going to do is we're going to create a hub in Cairns and in Cooktown, and we're going to have these bypasses. Now, this can all be worked out through a CBA, a cost-benefit analysis. For those of you who do not know what a CBA is, it's a type of economic analysis that evaluates and determines two or more options in the best interest of a community. It can compare all types of things, building costs, congestion costs, environmental costs, and it can also compare different types of benefits, time saving, financial, jobs, environmental, social well-being. And it can also look at through traffic compared to visitation and monetary spend within the Shire when traffic conditions change. So I would just like to say that these two strategies for Mosman and Daintree are very, very important to, be, to happen, I believe, before we go any further about the bridge and ferry debate. Thank you. Because my job as a councillor is to look after the entire Shire and make sure the strategic direction is complete in the best way forward. That is why I'm just pointing out that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Any other councillors like to speak towards this?
I just like to make a comment. I've received some very good feedback, and I think it was an issue from the previous council a couple of years ago. The bilingual signage and the welcome to country signs have been really well accepted, and I'm glad to see that it's in progress. And that's all the comment I wanted to make about that. I've had some really good feedback on that.
Thank you, Councillor.
I agree with Councillor Nolley and some of the stuff she has just said, and it's true, and as I've always pointed out, that we have a lot of day trippers that come through Mosman, because we've really got nothing here for Mosman for them to stop and see. So that's, I think it's important that we need to look at different avenues where we can get the day trippers stopping Mosman. One thing about the COVID-19, Mosman's done very well out of COVID-19, especially a lot of the smaller businesses, and which is really positive for the Shire, and it really shows that, yeah, we can provide the service that these day trippers want. It would be great to have people to stay more than one night here, or double night, but unfortunately Mosman doesn't really have much to offer them on that side. So I think that's something we should look forward to as a council, to try and get the day trippers and the multi-night trippers to stay here in Mosman. And I think north of the river, they have their plan well there, but unfortunately some of the businesses are closed because of COVID at this stage. So I just think that's something we should look at our future plans for Mosman.
Absolutely, could agree more, especially that we've got some streetscape in this operational plan for Mosman. You know, it's exciting to see we've now got a restaurant again open in Mosman, which means that's a very competent operator. So that's good to see. I know we've got a local group that's currently funding from the state for an interpretation centre and an Indigenous operations building. We've got, of course, botanical gardens, we've got biomill. I believe they're talking about possibly building tours again. So the more things that we can do in Mosman to create the reason for people to just stop them, that's absolutely valid. So it's the actual operational plan, you know. Of course, we got hit by COVID-19, which, you know, may reduce some of the projects, but for a small council, we certainly battled through a lot of these, and as CEO and staff need to be commended for everything that we did get done in the financial year. So with that, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? And that's carried unanimously. Okay, so that ends our open session. So we have got session 9.1 prejudicial matter S2751 Act Local Government Regulations 2012 Daintree River Crossing Options Report, and 9.2 prejudicial matter S2758 Local Government Regulations 2012 Fee Waiving Request Film Production. So if I can get a mover to move into closed session, please. Councillor Zamataro, seconded by Councillor Scommerson. All those in favour? And carried unanimously. So we'll move into closed session.